chapter 18 and verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 4. And the vessel he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we just thank you for this word. Lord, we ask you to anoint the words that I shall speak, that they will edify, that they will bless, that they will uplift, that they will exhort, that they will comfort. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. If you could say, in Jesus' name. Turn to someone, shake their hand, and tell them, I'm glad you're here. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is The Broken Vessel. In Jeremiah, the prophet is told to go to the house of the potter and to watch the potter make a vessel. And if you have ever done any pottery, there's a terminology that they use when they get the clay. They say you throw it at the wheel, and there's a wheel that spins, and the potter takes the clay, this lump of clay, and he throws it, literally throws it. It's called throwing the wheel. And they throw the clay down on the wheel. And before you start to make a vessel, you have to make sure that the clay is centered on the plate, that it's round. So what you have to do when you first get the clay there, you watch them. They squash that thing down and they squeeze it and they build it up. And you think they're about to start making the vessel. Then they squash it down again. And I was watching on YouTube several different techniques for making vessels, and all of them did it this way. They threw the clay on the wheel, and then they started to squeeze it so that it got centered, because it has to be centered on the wheel. And then they start to squeeze it, and it starts to come up like they're about to make the vessel. And then they squash it down again and push it all the way down. And it took me a while to realize what they were doing before they actually started to make the vessel. They had to make sure that every part of that clay was uniform and that it was actually spinning centered. And so they would build it up and then push it down with both hands and push it down until there was just a little point as it was spinning. And then they would look at that thing to make sure that it wasn't wobbling, that it was centered. God told the prophet Jeremiah, I want you to go down and watch the potter. I want you to watch how he makes a vessel for me. And Jeremiah went into the house of the potter. And as I was studying for this, I realized something that I hadn't realized before, even though I had taught several lessons on the seven words of creation. Does anyone remember I said the first word was created? And that's bara. The second word, Hebrew word in Genesis, is formed. And it's yatzah. But I didn't realize until I started studying this that the word for potter is also yatzah. Do you understand that when God formed Adam and Eve, when he formed you, he was the potter. He first had to build you up because he has to get you centered. And then I couldn't understand that they would squash that thing back down. You thought they were about to make a vessel, but no, it wasn't centered yet. So they all squashed it back down, all the way down. And in this vision, in this scene that Jeremiah goes to the potter's house, he's watching the potter on the wheel as he gets the clay and he starts to build up something, but it was marred in the hands of the potter. Do you understand that we are all marred? Each of us has a broken part of our life. Some that we don't let people know, that we keep hidden, but it's there. Because as we were put on the potter's wheel, as we were thrown on the potter's wheel, we were not centered. Something got off of kilter. And we've all developed hurts and things in our lives that we don't want people to know about that are deep and are persistent. And God told Jeremiah, I want you to go and watch what happens. But the potter did not give up. He did not give up. I was watching them on YouTube. I watched probably an hour of people making pottery last night. And it was always the same way. They first had to squash it down and squeeze it and manipulate it to make sure it was centered. And they would build it up and they would watch it. And if it wasn't perfectly still, even though it was spinning, they would squash it down again. I don't know if you felt sometimes that you have been on the potter's wheel, that you have been squashed down again. You know what's happening? The potter is remaking you. The vessel was marred. It was not good. It could not be sold. It was misshapen. It was damaged. But the potter made it again. Hallelujah. The potter made it again. See, we don't choose what vessel we're going to be. You didn't choose which household you were born in. You couldn't choose your parents. You couldn't choose the situation or the circumstance. And as you grew up, life started to mold you. And you have maybe become marred. Maybe there's some things you have been through that have been unfair, that have not been right, and you had no choice about it. There have been some things, of course, that we choose. We make bad choices, and we become marred, even on the potter's wheel, even though he's trying to center us and shape us. There's choices that we have made that have taken us in the wrong direction. But the potter did not give up. God told Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. I want you to study and watch how something is made, how a vessel is made. And we see that he is studying the potter, and he watches as the vessel, as it spins, becomes off-centered and has to be started again. But he didn't give up. You know, David went through that experience where he didn't choose which household he was born in. In fact, he was the youngest. They thought he was not going to amount to nothing. He was going to be the one who just kept the sheep forever. And you may think that your circumstances have doomed your life, that you are marred beyond hope, beyond redemption, beyond God's ability to mold you into something good. David in Psalms 51 verse 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You may have been born into a situation of abuse. You may have been born into, thrown at a wheel where you had no choice. You didn't know what you were supposed to be. David had that experience. He was left in the desert thinking he was only good to look after the sheep. But you know what? In the desert, he was being molded. He was being marred by circumstance, but God started to shape him and to put him in the center of his will. If you will let the potter reform you, you don't have to stay marred. You don't have to stay broken. Because there came experiences into his life. The things you are going through right now are there to shape you, to put you on that wheel, and to center you. You may think that God has forgotten you, and you may wonder why it is I seem to be going up, and then I get squashed right back down where I started. But that is the potter's hand trying to center you. You watch very carefully how they make vessels. They first throw it on the wheel, and they push it down, and they squeeze it. And I saw them several times build it up, and I thought, they're going to make the vessel now, but no. He looked at it, and it was still not centered, and he pushed it all the way back down, back into just a blob. Sometimes we go through circumstances and experiences that, just like David, we feel we started out behind everybody else. We started out disadvantaged. We started out with no hope. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. When I was born, I was the youngest. They all thought my brothers were going to be voted the most determined to succeed. I was just left to look after the sheep. But you see, God was molding him on the potter's wheel. He had to go through some experiences. Out in the desert by himself, he got attacked by a lion. You may feel right now that there are lions coming to attack you. You know what's happening? God is centering you on the potter's wheel. He's about to build you up, maybe to bring you back down again, maybe until you get purified, maybe until you're just the right consistency. And as you watch them making the potter's wheel, they get some water, and they have to put the water, and they have to keep putting the water on there and shaping it and bringing it up and then smoothing it out and pushing it down. And I thought, when are they going to start actually making the vessel? It took so many times, 3 or 4 times, they squashed it all the way back down. And I thought, what are they doing? When are they going to start making the vessel? I don't know if that's your experience right now. You're saying, Lord, when are you going to start using me? When is my deliverance coming? When is my help going to happen? You see, you have been marred. You haven't been quite centered yet. He's got to put a little bit more water on you. He's got to squash you down a little bit more. He's got to put you in the place where when you come up, you're rock solid. You're not wavering anymore. You know what God has done for you. You know where he's taken you from. He has delivered you from the devil, the lion, and the bear. See, David had some experiences so that when the time came for him to be chosen, he was ready to be molded into a vessel. See, I'm just talking to you today. Maybe you were born into a family with abuse. You see, you were just thrown at the wheel. You didn't have a choice where you were born. Some people are born disabled. It seems so unfair. And then we get to the situation in life when we start to get bitter and we start to question God and say, Lord, that's not fair. Why am I this way? Why can't I be like him or her? Why is it that my family, I didn't come from somewhere where I had all the advantages? Why did you make me this way? And you know, in the Bible, God has an answer for that. See, the clay cannot say to the potter, why have you made me this way? There's a reason for what God has done for you. There's a reason that he has chosen you to be shaped into a certain vessel. I watched them make different kinds of vessels, and I watched the technique that they used. There was one for a vase, and there was one for a bowl, and there was one for a plate, and they were all different. They had to be worked differently. They had to be susceptible to the potter's touch. I watched where it didn't work out and he squashed it back again and started again. You know, the good thing is they never gave up. God will not give up on you if you will let him start to mold you. If you will not give up on him, if you will submit to his will and his way, he wants to remake you into a beautiful vessel. Why are we all different? Why does someone is born disabled? Why is someone, you see, God is doing something that is mysterious. He's called it the church. It's a mystery what he's doing. I can't explain it to you. But let me ask you this question. Which part of your body would you do without? Can I cut off your toe? You don't need it. Maybe none of you are proud of your toes, but you soon find without one, you're in a whole lot of hurt. Do you understand that you may feel like you're the big toe, but you know the body needs you? It can't run very well without that big toe. You may think you're just the toenail. Well, you start to get a hangnail and you see how painful even that little thing is. See, you are part of the body, and whichever part of the body you are needed. See, I don't think any of you would give up even the parts of the body you don't like. Who is willing to let me cut off their little finger? I mean, you don't need your little finger. You can still live pretty good. You see, you are important to God's body. He has made you special. You are unique. There's not another one of you in this world. You are part of God's body, and he has a plan. He wants to make you a vessel of honor. He wants to take you from being a marred piece of clay and remake you. And he wants to put you into the place of honor. But that means you're going to have to be molded. That means sometimes you're not centered. He's going to have to bring you back down on that wheel. I saw and I started to realize what they were doing. It was only when they had brought the clay up to a tower and they could look at it and it was spinning fast and yet it was not moving. Then at that point they were ready to start making the vessel. Some of us want to be made a vessel when we're still off kilter, where we're not centered, where we got all kinds of stuff going on. And yet we want God to use us. No, we're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. Let me explain to you why sometimes we don't understand what's going on. It looks so unfair. In Malachi 3:14, you know, the scripture that we have read many times where we say, why do we bother coming to church? Why do we serve God? He has said it is in vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? We come to church, we serve God, we don't see a difference yet. But you understand that there's a book being written. Hallelujah. God has got a book of remembrance being written. We say we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Verse 15, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. It seems all the people who are doing all wrong seem to be, their life is going smooth. Everything's going good for them. And we start to feel, well, Lord, why don't I get my blessings? When is my time? You understand, you are still on the potter's wheel. You are still a marred vessel. Jeremiah, I want you to go and watch my technique. I want you to understand my plan for people's life. Because you see, Jeremiah got it. Because later on in chapter 29, he says, I know now the plans and the thoughts that I have for you. Plans to bless you, to increase you. You see, he first had to understand what the potter was doing, his technique. Sometimes we do not understand and we get frustrated. And we say, God, it's not fair. I was born behind all the lines. I had all the disadvantages. I was only born with only my mother. I don't even know who my father is. God, you are not fair. But you understand, he is doing something special with your life. You are unique. You are part of the vessel. You are part of the body. And he is going to put you in the place where you are most being able to be used. You have said it is vain to serve God. What profit is that we have kept his ordinance? I've been coming to church all my life. I've been praying and waiting, and I still don't see things happen yet. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Isn't that amazing? But you know what? I remember the scripture that says he has sent the rain on the just and the unjust. Even, it says, tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. You know what we're doing? When you come to church, we're speaking one to another. We're encouraging one another. We hear testimonies of deliverance. And you know what God does? He says, you know what? I'm going to open a book. I'm going to start to write down the names. I'm going to take some names right here. Saying, them that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's when you come to church. We are encouraging one another. And the Lord listened. He hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for him that feared the Lord and thought often about his name. You may not see right now God's work. You may not understand his plan. You may think you're the big toe and useless and nobody takes any notice of you. And life has been unfair, but he has a plan for your life. There is deliverance coming. I know the devil wants to disappoint you and wants to tell you you are nothing and there's nothing going to happen in your life. But if you will wait upon the potter, he is going to take that clay and make something beautiful. After I was watching for long enough, finally the potter looked at the clay. And by now he had made this tower. And then he looked at it and he saw that it was perfectly still, even though it was spinning. You see, when you get to the point when you can stand in the storm, even though everything around you is happening, God knows you're ready. I can use him now. They've been through some things. They understand about me molding them. They understand about going through the storm. Then when the potter looked at it, and I saw many videos of the master potter. There was a master potter class, and he just looked at it and he decided, okay, now I can do something with that clay. Then he took his thumbs and he started to mold and mold, and it looked impossible, but at the end was this beautiful vessel, and he took and finished it off with the fire. Took a blowtorch and started to blow fire on the outside of the clay. And I'm telling you, sometimes the Bible speaks about the fiery trials. Well, I think it's strange. But you know what he's doing? The master potter is developing you. He's taking you through. He's making a beautiful vessel. Oh, hallelujah for himself. The Bible says that we should be vessels of honor. Vessels of honor. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. Sometimes we get so discouraged. We get so down because we have been praying. We think, we look at others and see how they're blessed and how they're delivered and they seem to have everything just given to them. But don't remember what I just said, that God is building a body and he needs you. He can't do without even his little finger. He can't do without the big toe. You try running without your big toe. You know, I had been exercising. I had decided about a year ago that I needed to do some exercise, but I kind of overdid it about 2 weeks ago, and I found out I had a muscle, the tiny little muscle, but it hurt. I looked up the name of it, and it's some big medical name, but you know what? That tiny little muscle stopped me now from running. I didn't know I needed that muscle, but I do. I can't run without it. You may be that tiny little muscle that this church needs, that you think so little of yourself, but that God needs you. God wants you. He wants to put you down on that wheel. He wants to spin you. And when you are centered, he can start to make you a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. We need to just wait patiently upon the Lord. We need not to give up. We have to understand, like Jeremiah, he's saying, go to the potter's house. I want to show you my technique. I want to show you how I work, how I develop people, how I build character, and the vessel of honor that I'm going to make you if you will just wait upon me. See, God calls those things that are not as though they be. He is seeing you as the finished product, something beautiful that people pay thousands of dollars for this pottery that is all glazed and got beautiful painting on the outside. But that's not how it started. It started as an ugly, ugly lump of clay. But if you will let God start to mold you and make you and take you through, and sometimes it seems that you're almost ready to be a vessel, but he looks and he sees that it's still a little bit wobbly. We got to take it back down again. We got to throw some more water on it. We got to get that sharp molding tool and start to curve it off. I saw them many times take a sharp knife and they started to go around the edge of the vessel and smooth it out. Maybe God needs to take off some of your rough edges and you don't like it. It hurts. But you stay under the hand of the potter. The vessel that was marred, he remade it into something beautiful. See, God is just waiting for us to let him move in our life, to change our direction. There's some people going to get baptized today. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay. Thou art potter, and we are the work of thy hand." When will we relax and let the Lord finish the work? See, the reason why he can't work is because we're off center. And I learned so much just watching how they make the vessels. I thought you just get it into a shape and you start working with it, but no. They had to keep mashing it down and centering it and getting the clay uniform, taking out the rough edges, remaking it, reshaping it, until finally, when it was like a big tower, he would step back and look at it. And it was, even though it was spinning, you couldn't tell it was moving. That told me so much. God wants to use you. God wants to make you a vessel of honor, but you have to be at that place. Don't let the potter have to keep squashing you down and building you up. Because that's all the devil wants to do, is to get you discouraged and for you to give up. You see, let's look at an example in Scripture. There was a man who thought he was doing right for God. He was so righteous in doing the work of God. He had other Christians put to death. But God wanted to remake him and to take him into a different direction. In Acts chapter 9, verse 13, you all know who I'm talking about. Saul. And on his way to Damascus, the potter had to squash him down. The potter had to remold him. And he got knocked off his horse, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You see, sometimes God has to interrupt our life, has to give us a crisis before we will really wake up and say, "Lord, I humble myself. I really need your help. I can't do this by myself." You understand, clay can't make itself. You need to be under the hand of Almighty God. You need to submit your life fully to the potter, or else you'll still be just being built up and brought down. I saw them work the clay so many times, and I was thinking, what are they doing? Why don't they start the vessel? And then after a while, I realized what they were doing. They could not start to produce the beauty that was going to be the end product until it could stand up straight and not wobble. God wants to remake you. The clay was, the vessel was marred under the hand of the potter until finally he had to remake it. We see in Paul's life that God had to interrupt his life. And it wasn't until a crisis that he realized that he needed a change of direction. And then God revealed to Ananias that this same Paul was going to be a chosen vessel. Acts 19:13, "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done." It doesn't matter your background. Do you understand? Paul was a murderer. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your situation. Because in Christ, you are a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have been made new. You see, the thing about clay, it can take a new shape. It can be remolded. It's not set. All it has to do is submit under the hand of the potter. I saw them take the water and they just kept working it, kept working it. Whatever has happened in your past, the Bible says that is cast away into the sea of forgetfulness. If you are willing to be remade, you don't have to stay marred. You don't have to stay full of hurts and pains from the past, but you can be new creature in Christ. You can submit your life to the potter and he will finally be able to build you up into a new vessel. Ananias, I need you to go and see this man. Verse 14, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on my name. Here's the part. This is God's grace and mercy. This man was a killer. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. I'm telling you, God wants to say right now about your life that you are a chosen vessel. God wants to use you. He wants to interrupt your path and take you to Damascus. And I'm telling you, I'm playing the role of Ananias to tell you right now, you are a chosen vessel. Let the Lord put you on that wheel. Let him remold you. Let him rebuild you. Let him change the direction in your life. Submit to the potter. If you could stand with me. Now, the second scripture I read at the beginning was about a woman. And this story about the woman with the alabaster jar is in all four Gospels. And it's told in all four Gospels a slightly different way, from a different perspective. And it's interesting about this woman. In the Luke perspective, Luke chapter 7, verse 34, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. It says, was a sinner. Notice that, past tense. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's home, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, what I'm going to tell you is that this alabaster box of ointment represented, I believe, her heart. It was expensive. It was 300 pence, which was 9 months' labor. Would have taken 9 months to earn that much money. So it was very expensive. And she symbolically gave her heart and broke it. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. Now, this story is in all four Gospels, and in each Gospel it focuses on a different perspective. And in Luke, it goes on to say that the people around Jesus kind of murmured and complained. But it doesn't really tell us the whole story. In the Gospel of Matthew, when he's telling it, he reveals something about the house that they were at. Because one of the persons who was complaining and looking down on this woman, it says that they were in the house of the Pharisee. Well, in Matthew's gospel, it gives us a name and tells us who the person was. His name was Simon. But he wasn't just Simon the Pharisee. He was Simon the leper. And that's so interesting because here is Simon the leper who supposedly must have been healed for them to be sitting down and eating with him, criticizing the woman who was a sinner. See, sometimes we go in the potter's house and we look at the vessels and we can pick out all the ones that are flawed and are marred and not understand that we ourselves were once flawed and marred. See, when you read all the story in all four Gospels, it tells you from a different perspective. One telling is from Judas's perspective, and he says, oh, it was sold for too much. Matthew's Gospel is about Simon and how he's looking down on her because she was such a great sinner. But it turns out that this lady's name, which is not given in the Luke Gospel, was Mary. Everybody knew her reputation. Everybody, because he said, how could you sit down with this lady? She's a flawed and broken vessel. If you were a prophet, Jesus, you would know better. He didn't see that presumably he himself had been a flawed and broken vessel. And I assume that Jesus had healed him. Because under the law, he could not sit down with a leper. And this scripture tells us that she was a sinner. Jesus had already delivered her. All she was doing now was to show her thanks. She came and broke this alabaster vessel of ointment. She gave her heart. And because of that, Jesus said, listen, wherever this gospel is preached in all the world, this story about this woman who broke the alabaster jar is going to be told. Because she has been forgiven of much, so she loves much. It doesn't matter your background once you meet Jesus. You can be delivered. You can be flawed as a leper and just have a physical mar. Or like this woman, you couldn't see anything wrong with her other than her soul, her reputation. But in either case, if you will let Jesus take the clay and start to mold you, as he told Jeremiah, the vessel that was marred, he remade. And this same woman had a brother named Lazarus. The same woman. And sometime later, he died. And you know the story. And because this vessel, which was marred, had such a bad reputation, and nobody wanted to have anything to do with her, who was righteous, holy, it was this same vessel that Jesus, who had remade, chose to reveal himself as the first person that he revealed his resurrection to. Now that deserves a shout. That you can be remade and that Jesus can reveal himself to you. I'm almost finished. John chapter 20, verse 13. The vessel that was marred, Mary, was remade and chosen to really be the first apostle. Because apostle means someone who was personally commissioned by Christ. And when Jesus met her, he said, "Go, tell my disciples." She preached the resurrection message to his, the vessel that no one wanted to sit down and have a meal with. No one wanted to have anything to do with. Jesus, the potter, can remake you. Can remold you. John 20, 13, "And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus." That's a whole nother message. That's a whole nother message. Because in Isaiah 52, he became marred. He became marred. It says he was marred so that no one could even recognize him. The clay, Jesus, under the hand of the potter, it pleased the Lord to bruise him for our salvation. That when he arose, she didn't even recognize him because he too, in his body, had been marred. "Why weepest thou, woman? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him, else tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." What I'm telling you today is that no matter where your circumstance, where you come from, you let the potter remake you. You let the potter remake. If it takes building you up and squashing you down, you stay on the potter's wheel. If it takes him taking something to scrape around all the rough edges, you stay on the potter's wheel. Because if you will give him the broken vessel, he can remake you. And this woman, who no one had wanted any dealings with, turned out to be the first messenger that the risen Christ chose to deliver the resurrection message. "Go and tell my disciples." None of them were there. Simon the leper looked down on her, even though he too had been marred. But Luke tells us she was a sinner. She had been forgiven and delivered and remade under the hand of the potter. Let the potter remake you. Doesn't matter if you came from wherever. He has a place on the body for you. I open these altars. We're finishing. We're closing. But this is the message today. In Jeremiah 19, God tells Jeremiah, I want you to go and get a vessel, a clay vessel. And I want you to write something and put it in there. Then I want you to take it out to this valley that's outside of Jerusalem, called the Valley of Hinnom. In other words, Gehenna. And some thousand years later, it was the place where Judas, who told his side of the story of the lady, came. And the Bible said that they bought this place with the 30 pieces of silver. And it was called what? The Potter's Field. There is no one who is too far that God cannot remake you. There is no one who has gone too distant that if you will allow the potter, he'll take some water. It takes water to remake the clay. It takes water and it takes fire. In this life, we shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. I'm done speaking. If you want to pray at this altar, they're open. If you want to submit your hand onto the potter and have him remake you, if you want a new and closer walk with God, if you want the potter to change your life, if you have been marred either by your own choices or by the circumstances life has pressed on you, don't give up. He will put you on the wheel. He will center you. He will remake you because he is our Father. If you could all bow your heads. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, we are the clay. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, those who have come to the altar, those in the pew, Lord God. Lord, we submit our will to you. Father, whatever it takes to make us vessels of honor, Lord, we ask you right now to just do your work. If it takes